Tim, welcome in. How you doing?
I'm excellent, thanks. How are you?
Good, good, good. Are you in Florida yet?
I am. I am standing right outside the First Data Field here, the Mets Spring Training Complex, and it's very nice out, so happy to be here.
I bet you are. Well, you know, Brody Van Wagenen has been bragging on the Mets. You know, I think they're the team to beat. And I know it's hard for you to assess this because there are a lot of new faces on this team, but what do you think psychologically that does? Does it put pressure on the players and make it tougher, or does it give them a sense of optimism that maybe the culture was lacking a little bit last year?
I think it's definitely the latter of those two options. Just in talking to a handful of players the past few days, there is a lot of optimism. And of course there is, because it's day -3 of spring training, you know what I mean? So this time of year, it's easy to be optimistic. You know, I'm not as high, I'm skeptical, let's say, of Brody Van Wagenen's claims that the Mets are the team to beat in the division. But they're certainly better than they were a year ago, and there are a lot of new players, a lot of good new players in this group, and I think everybody in the clubhouse and on the field is certainly aware of that and happy for that.
Well, I look at the guys that they jettisoned, and, you know, Plawecki, Bruce, Forzak, Blevins, David Wright, although he didn't play, but, you know, the contract and everything, and Wilmer Flores, and Wilmer contributed. But of the others, you know, the guys that they lost really didn't contribute much. In fact, were pretty much negatives throughout the season, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, definitely. You know, if you think about Jerry Blevins as an example, and not to rag on him because he's had a pretty good track record and a bad 2018, but last year, as the primary left-hander in the Mets bullpen, he wasn't very good. This year, they have Justin Wilson, who, you know, again, we'll see how his season goes, but he's got that track record. He seems like a pretty safe bet to have a reasonably good season. And as the third, fourth, fifth best arm in that bullpen, you know, which, of course, is led by Edwin Diaz and Jerry Familia, that's a pretty good guy to have in that role. I think another one is, you know, you mentioned Wilmer Flores. You know, he's very popular and he had a ton of walk-offs, but overall he didn't offer much defensively. Offensively, he was okay. But, you know, in that role now really is Jed Lowrie, who's going to get a lot of playing time all over the infield. And, you know, that is an upgrade, you know, Wilmer Flores to Jed Lowrie.
Yeah, I mean, I think the concern, if you look at the team in terms of position players, would be the corners on the infield. You know, you're looking at a guy in Frazier who did not have a good year last year, and there's not a lot of reason to think it's going to get better. I mean, this is kind of the trend he's on. So are you thinking that he becomes an option at first, a part-time third baseman, and with Lowrie getting more time? I mean, where do you see Todd Frazier going?
Well, there are a lot of decisions to be made, and they're all interconnected. You know, the talk about as far as corner infield goes is, well, is Peter Alonso, who had a very good year in Triple and Double A last year, is he going to win the first base job? And if the answer there is no, then it becomes, all right, well, maybe Todd Frazier can slide in there, which opens up third base for Lowrie. If somebody else wins first base, then Todd Frazier is going to start at third, but if he's not good, Jed Lowrie, there he is, you know. The deal with Todd Frazier this year is this is the last year of his two-year contract, and he's making, I think, $7 million.
Yeah.
Okay, $8.5 million. So if he's not good and the Mets have other players who are performing, whether it's Lowrie, Jeff McNeil, J.D. Davis, you know, whomever, it'll get to a point where it won't be worth keeping him around.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, did the Mets then subscribe to the sunk cost syndrome in that, okay, we've already spent this money on this guy. If he's not performing, I'll just not play him, or let's just cut him and let him go somewhere else? Or do they think, gee, we spent $8.5 to $10 million. Gee, we gotta find a place for him somewhere, which seems to be the way they operated a little bit in the past.
Right. I think my sense in terms of Brody Van Wagenen and his philosophy on that is the best players are going to play. Now, the interesting kink to throw into that is Todd Frazier is a CAA guy, and Brody Van Wagenen in the early going here has seemed to be, have a special place in his heart for the CAA guys, that being his former employer when he was a player agent, of course. You know, he brought in Jed Lowry, who was his client, as an example. So there are a lot of pieces to that dynamic and relationship, but the bottom line is you have to produce if you're going to play.
Yeah. And look, they've improved, certainly. Robinson Cano can still hit second base. Catcher, if Ramos can stay healthy, is a big upgrade over what they had before. And they've got, I think the key thing, too, is they've got depth now, which they didn't have before. You lose somebody last year, and you're reaching down into AAA for guys who aren't necessarily even prospects. This year, you got backup guys.
Yeah, depth is certainly what the Mets are lauding, as spring training opens up here, and actually wrote about it in today's paper for Newsday. You can read that on Newsday.com. But my favorite example of the depth is Devin Mesoraco on a minor league contract. Now, that's a guy who was the Mets' primary catcher for a lot of last season when they acquired him in a trade for Matt Harvey. And now, all of a sudden, yes, the Mets have Wilson Ramos. They have Travis d'Arnaud kind of penciled in as backup. But all of a sudden, here's Devin Mesoraco, who is a very good guy to have on a minor league contract. Now, he can either win the backup job, and then you have a guy who, was basically DeGrom's personal catcher last summer, as your number two. And it's just a good spot to be in, using catcher as an example. I think another one is Luis Avalon, who is, an established lefty reliever in the majors, but the best he could do was a minor league contract this year. So the Mets do have options. They do have depth in certain parts of the roster. They're in much better shape compared to last year in that respect.
Yeah, there's been a little bit of talk about Gio Gonzalez, who remains unsigned. What's the likelihood that the Mets would bring him in?
I don't think there's a fit there right now. Now, it's February. Pitchers and catchers are starting to report. So an unsigned player, you never know how desperate a guy's going to get. But if the Mets did bring in Gio Gonzalez, he would be effectively the fifth starter, and they have Jason Vargas right now. Is Gio Gonzalez a significant enough upgrade over Jason Vargas to make it worth paying both of those guys? I don't know. It depends on Gio's price. I'm inclined to say no, it's not worth the cost of paying both and kind of moving Vargas to a swingman role, try him as a reliever. He's never been a reliever. Maybe I'm a little higher on Vargas than a lot of people, but I think he's going to bounce back to some degree this year.
Yeah, well, he had all the injuries to start the season. He never seemed to get on track, and then he had, four, five, six really good games and then kind of regressed a little bit again and injured. So, you hope if he's healthy. It's hard to really get into Vargas throwing 82-mile-an-hour fastballs, but, you've seen it before with others that don't necessarily have the heat that figure out ways to get out, which he did on occasion last year.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. He's not going to impress you with his stuff. He's not going to automatically become, a Zach Wheeler type who had a great reestablished season last year. But I think Jason Vargas, if he's healthy and can have a normal spring, have his routine, pitch regularly, I think he can be a perfectly fine fifth starter.
There are two guys, and we're talking to Tim Healy of Newsday, that you keep your eye on that had great potential but can't stay on the field. And I'm talking about Juan Lagares and Travis d'Arnaud. when you predict injuries, who knows? I mean, weird things happen. But, I thought Lagares, before he got hurt last year, was really starting to come on offensively. And, of course, his defense has always been great. And I guess you got to keep your fingers crossed and just hope that this guy can stay healthy. And, the advice I'd have to give him, and no player would ever listen to it, is maybe dial it back a little bit. Maybe not dive for some of those balls. Maybe not run into the fences full tilt. Maybe just say, okay, it's going to be a double. I'm not going to risk missing 6 weeks trying to catch it. But that's kind of a hard mentality when you've played one way your whole life, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. It's almost impossible, probably, to change a guy's instincts, change his personality out on the field. But Lagares is a great example. If he didn't go crashing into the wall to make one catch last May, and honestly, I don't even remember what else happened in that game, then maybe he doesn't mess up his toe and doesn't miss the rest of the season. But again, when you're in the moment and the ball is within reach, if you just make that little extra effort, it's kind of hard to blame a guy for laying out, going all out.
Yeah, that is true. And Darnell, I mean, after the surgery and everything else, you know, nice line drive hitter when healthy. Not the greatest catcher in the world, but is good at framing. So, you know, he could be a pretty capable backup if he can stay healthy, and maybe he can play other positions.
Yeah, the Mets have kind of floated that idea at times this offseason, the idea that Darnell could, you know, play a little third, play a little left. They think he's athletic enough to do those things. But really right now, as he's, you know, 10 months removed from Tommy John surgery, is, frankly, he has to win the backup job. He's got competition now in Devin Mesoraco. And it's not, I don't think it's just going to be handed to him. He has to prove it, show the Mets a little something, and have a good spring.
Do they have options on Darnell if he doesn't perform? Can they send him to AAA, or are they out of options on him?
I'm pretty sure they can't do that, yeah.
Yeah, so it's either play or, you know, find a job somewhere else, I guess.
Right, right. And you never know. If he has a really good spring, maybe another team will take an interest in him. You know, you never know when a team might get desperate in mid to late March, a catcher goes down.
Yeah, that is true. Well, you know, I'm looking at a potential lineup, and I guess at this point, Nimmo, Lowry, Cano, Conforto, Ramos, Frazier, Lagares, pitcher, depending, or Rosario. And Rosario's fascinating because he did get a bit more selective last year, but he's got to get that chase rate down to be the kind of player that his talent would suggest he is.
Yeah, swinging at strikes is a good way to be a better baseball player, and that was a problem for him for a lot of last season. He did have a very good second half. He's still only, what, 23 years old? I think a lot of times these highly touted prospects come up at 20, 21, and it's easy to forget how young they are, how fast they flew through the minors. So there's still a lot of potential in Rosario. There's still a lot of potential power there specifically. The Mets are big on his bat, and he's not a huge guy, but he can be a sneaky power threat. So there's still a lot of clay there. And if the Mets can continue to mold it, he could still be a very good shortstop, absolutely.
Yeah, and there is a shakeup on the coaching staff, and I guess Chili Davis is going to be the new hitting instructor. Do you see different approaches with him, or do you see what he, you know, philosophically does he go for here?
You know, I haven't had a chance to talk to Chili yet. I saw him here for the first time today. So I look forward to talking to him in the days to come. But I think what you're going to see is, as opposed to this time last year when the Mets were sort of an all-or-nothing group, you know, you had Adrian Gonzalez at first, Todd Frazier at third, Asdrubal Cabrera had a really good season. But there was a lot of kind of home runs or nothing sort of players. This year, they really like Jed Lowry's contact skills, Jeff McNeil's contact skills. Nimmo and Conforto, obviously, are good at putting the ball in play. So I think Chili Davis is going to focus on just put the ball in play and good things will happen, which is, you know, a philosophy that worked for the 2015 Royals, for the last year's Red Sox. So there's some merit to that, absolutely.
And Mickey Callaway is manager. Okay, he's got a year under his belt. Some have suggested, well, he's really on the hot seat because Van Wagenen didn't choose him. He was an Alderson leftover. Would there be a lot of pressure on him, or do you think that they're willing to, you know, they like him and they're willing to let him grow into the position?
I think any time the person who hired you isn't there anymore, you have to wonder. Obviously, he was Sandy Alderson's hire, and, you know, Sandy's not here anymore. Brody's the boss. I think Brody and Mickey get along, are on the same page, and Mickey is on board with the changes Brody is making. But when it comes down to it, kind of like we were saying with Todd Frazier, the team has to produce, the team has to win, and if they get off to a bad start or they have another losing season, then that's going to reflect poorly on Mickey.
Yeah, and Mickey did do a good job with the pitching staff, it seems. I mean, whether it was him with Wheeler or not, I mean, Wheeler really seemed to find himself last year and becomes a really, really strong number three option. And Matz was able to stay healthy last year, which he hasn't been able to do, generally speaking. So, you know, you want to give the pitching coach credit or Callaway credit. They certainly, you know, seem to step up a little bit with the staff.
Yeah, absolutely. It's more Dave Island, the pitching coach, on a day-to-day basis, you know, working with the starters on their between starts bullpens and things along those lines. But the combination of Dave Island as pitching coach and Mickey in his highly touted years as a pitching coach, now as manager, it's a good combination that proved that paid dividends last year. And frankly, the Mets are kind of banking on again this year in terms of squeezing a little bit more production out of guys who haven't lived up to their ability, you know, kind of further down the depth chart.
Well, last year the bullpen was a negative, but now you've got Diaz, you've got Familia coming back in a setup role, you still have Lugo and Gesellman, you've got Justin Wilson. It looks like the bullpen could be a strength.
It could be, yeah. So there are definitely still question marks there, but if the chips fall the right way for the Mets, the bullpen could be a big-time strength. I'm actually writing about that right now so everybody can keep an eye out for it in a couple of hours and in the paper tomorrow. But to me, it hinges on the three guys in the middle, Seth Lugo, Justin Wilson, and Robert Gesellman. You know, you figure Diaz and Familia are pretty known quantities, but Seth Lugo, can he repeat his 2018? Can his partially torn UCL stay under control? Robert Gesellman showed flashes last year, but overall his numbers really weren't very good out of the bullpen. And then Justin Wilson, again, who we mentioned, has been very durable, has a good track record for a bunch of teams. So, you know, there are certainly some question marks, but reason to believe it could be a strength, and really it shouldn't be nearly as bad as last year when I think they had the second worst bullpen ERA in the majors, so. Progress there as well.
Yeah, well, when you look at Jacob DeGrom's overall win-loss record, know, that's right. The bullpen. That's the indictment right there when the guy pitches to a Cy Young level and can only win 10 games. All right, thank you so much, Tim. We'll talk to you, I'm sure, very, very soon as training camp gets going.
Thank you. Sounds good.